Timothy chapter 3, and if you just find into verse 14 and 15 to start with, I want to start off by saying, don't change. Too much change is happening. Things are changing, people are changing, religions are changing, cults are changing, the world is changing. But God doesn't change. I am the Lord, and I change not, the Lord says. So have a look at verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Don't change. Turn back to the start of chapter 3. And we'll pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for today. Thank you that we can come and worship you, Lord, and sing songs. And we just pray, Lord, that you can be glorified for our singing. We just pray now that we can be teachable, that you can teach us through your word, Lord, and help us to know more about you by the end of this, Lord. And we just pray, help me, Lord, as I speak. Just give us wisdom and speak to us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't change. So heaps of people are changing, heaps of churches are changing, heaps of people that you know are changing, and it's just, it's what's happening everywhere, hey. It's like, it's crazy how much stuff changes. And so we need to not change where we stand doctrinally, positionally in the Word. So we're just going to have a look through chapter 3. We're going to do a bit of a chapter study here. We're going to read all the way through chapter 3 and into chapter 4. That's pretty scary. It's more than a lot of Christians read in a week. I understand that. But it's okay. We're at church. We're here to read the Bible. Okay? So let's just start in chapter 3 and verse 1. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And let's just go through this. And it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, okay? We are seeing Bible truth being fulfilled right now. This is like Bible prophecy, this chapter, is just pointing out all these things. Once we get down to verse 8, there is actually 21 points of rebellion, of sin, of these kinds of things that Paul actually lists that will be happening in the last days. Now, the last days have obviously been happening for a really long time since Christ. I mean, everyone's just been looking, we're in the last days, we're in the last days, we're in the last days. And you know what? We're still in the last days, okay? So in the last days, perilous times are going to come. It's going to be dangerous, okay? It's dangerous. We have so much religion mixed with the culture. And that's what's dangerous. You know, we need to be careful of the wiles of the devil. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles is that methods. He's tricky, he's cunning, he's conniving. And you read about that in Genesis 3, the serpent was more cunning than any other beast. And he's still that same cunning, evil, devouring dragon enemy that we still have today. It was from around back then. And it tells us in Revelation that he stands daily before God accusing the brethren. Oh, look at Chris, Lord. Look at Chris, God. God, look what... That's what he's doing. And we have this trick and he's mixing. We found that heaps in New Guinea when you had the churches and they're mixing the SDA churches. Oh, man, they gave us so much problems. They mix the animistic cultural religion with a little bit of Bible and a little bit of truth, and you just go, no, but it's not true. And that's what the devil does, doesn't he? He gets that little bit and he mixes it together and he twists it. And it says, so watch out, there are dangerous times. And we'll see what these people do. Verse 2, it says, for men, you can go through this list. I'm not going to stop on each of the points, but there's 21 about, I counted them down, and we'll just read through them, and I'll just point out a couple of them, because some of them are just like that. Okay, so for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh, that's just obvious, isn't it? The gym guys. Yeah, I better be careful myself. I'll rip my shirt. All right? So, men are going to be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. There are parents that are scared of their kids. Like, this is terrible. Unthankful. They just don't care. Unholy. Without natural affection. Just, they don't have that natural affection. I mean, you know, all this stuff. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. They've got no self-control. They're fierce. Despisers of those that are good. You're a little goody two-shoes. It's like, they don't want you to be good. They hate good people. You little dibber-dobber. I'm not a fan of dobbing. There's a place for it, right? Okay. But there's also, context, right? Discretion, when to and when not to. That's what you got to learn. Okay. They hate those that do good. They're traitors. They're heady. Or heady, heady, heady. Basically, it means reckless. I thought that was pretty interesting. Reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such to know, they've got a form of godliness. They look like they're doing something, but they're denying the power of God. These religions, these cults, these teachings, all of these things, they have a form of godliness, but there's something not quite right entirely with their doctrine, okay? And you see this. It comes out. There is something not right, you know. And there's false Christs and false teachers all around the place. We need to be careful. Okay, and the Bible warns us, says, from such turn away. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning. Ever learning, and I was thinking, they're always studying. Have you met those people? Oh, they're annoying, aren't they? Oh, they read, and they study, and they read this, and they read that, but they don't read their Bible, and they argue, and they philosophize, and they debate. Oh, people in New Guinea wanted me to debate. The SDA pastors wanted me to debate in the markets. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And that's what people are like. And they have, and they're, but look what it says. It says they're always reading, they're always studying, and they're always learning, but it says they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They actually never find the truth. They actually never know God. They actually just want to be smart and sound good and sound clever, but actually they don't know God and they don't know the truth. And then you point something out from the Bible, like, oh, I'm sure you've all ran into people like that all the time. And it's really, really annoying. And in verse 8, let's read down. And I don't know how to pronounce these names the proper way. I looked it up and it's pretty tricky, but we'll just say what it says there. It says, and now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Okay, they're the Egyptian magicians. Okay, they're the Egyptian magicians way back in Exodus. And you just think about that. Let's just go back in our minds, back to Exodus. And we got Moses and we got Aaron and they're standing there before Pharaoh and they're saying, let my people go. And they're like, why should I let the people go and all this stuff. And Moses, Aaron goes, hurrah, and throws his staff on the ground. It turns into a snake. Like, that'd be pretty scary and kind of cool at the same time. And you know what? These guys did it as well. It says, and the Egyptians and their magicians did it also with their enchantments. And then there's probably, if there's two of them, and they did, there's three snakes, and then Aaron's snake ate their snakes. That would have been cool. I wonder if there was a spiritual battle going on, eh? Because that was the power of God, and that was the power of Satan, and God's just snake just ate those guys' snakes, and they ate them up, and then Aaron takes it back and he's got his rod back again. And they're like wizards and magicians, and what do they need? They need their walking sticks, don't they? They're probably going, oh no, give me my stick back. Oh, I don't know where it is. It's not any fatter than it was before. I don't know. You know, and they're there. And these guys here, they're resisting God. And they can only do so much. And that's what these verses say, you know. And then Aaron goes out the next time and he goes, I'm going to turn the blood to water. And he turns the blood to water. And it says, and the magicians were able to do likewise. They could turn the water into blood. And at this point, they're just going, oh, no, God, your God's he's not that powerful. He's just like us. We can, I don't need to let, why am I going to let you go? You're my slaves. You're my labor force. I'm not letting you go. And then the next time he comes and he turns a place into frogs, he just covers it in frogs. And then the magicians, they do frogs as well. And there's more frogs, and there's tons of frogs, and then they stink, and you read about it, they stink, and they're trying to get rid of them, and it's chaos. And then the next time they come, they bring lice. Have you ever had your house plagued with lice? Oh, did we have a couch? Was it just our couch? We had bird lice once in our house. I don't know where it came from, but we got lice. It was bad. I think it was just in the couch. It wasn't in our whole house, but it was bad. And so the whole land of Egypt is covered in lice. That's itchy stuff. Little bite, and they're not even like fleas that you can kill and squish, and they're covered in lice. And then these guys go, we can't do this. This is the finger of God, and they've recognized their level of defeat. And let's look at what this says here. And this is what this is like people, okay? And this passage is talking about. It says, ever learning, never able to come to the truth, the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres, or Hombre, or however you want to say it, it says, we've stood Moses. And it says, so do these also resist the truth. They'll do whatever they can. And you argue and you debate and you show them Bible verses and they make excuses and they just go, yeah, that's good for you, but it's not for me and all this kind of stuff. Whatever makes you happy. Yeah, like Robin Bakes make me happy. Does that mean it's okay? I said that to my dad once. He didn't know what to say. And but they just argue and they're resisting the truth and they don't want to know. They don't want to know about it. And they're just resisting. And that's what it says. And it says, men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. They are men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now, reprobate means it doesn't prove itself as it ought. There's a few definitions that comes to mind with reprobate, unable to repent. But I like this one. It says it doesn't prove itself when it comes to the truth. It's just... It doesn't balance. They don't want to know the truth. They're just not going to learn. They're not going to humble themselves before God. They're just going to always, they're just reprobate concerning the faith. It's like, nah. And then it says, look at verse 9, like if these Egyptian magicians, it says, but they shall proceed no further. Okay, just like these magicians, they could only go so far. God was stepping it up a notch every time. Every time a plague came, it got worse, it got stronger, it got harder, and then he protected Israel in the midst of it, and that is like unreal itself when you look at that and you really study into how those plagues worked and what happened and everything. And Israel, there was the lightning and the everything that happened, the darkness, and Israel was fine. That's something. Imagine a satellite view of that. Live satellite. Dark. Clear. You can see the ground. People walking around like, I don't know. It would have been pretty cool. Okay, but they could only go so far. And then it was like, this is it. And it says, look what it says. Verse 9, it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Okay, so that's referring back to those magicians. They could only go so far. They said, we can do this. We're powerful. Your God's not much. We can do the same. Why do we need to let your people go? But they could only go so far. And that's like people. They can only go so far. All right, so we're living in dangerous times. We're seeing this. We are seeing all of this getting played out right now. You look into Mormonism, you look into SDA, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, and then you look into what Christians get into, yoga, astrology, like all of this kind of stuff. It is dangerous, dangerous stuff. Let's keep reading on. And it says, Paul goes on here, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. With persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions. Okay, so, but we're just looking at these verses. Verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse. And I looked up this word seducers, and it actually didn't really mean what I thought it meant. It actually meant wizards and imposters. We have an idea when we think of seducers, don't we? Think of immorality and fornication and all this kind of stuff. It says seducers, an enchanter. Actually, it was enchanters and deceivers. And it kind of was interesting discovering that. And it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're deceiving others because they're deceived themselves. They're denying the power of God. They're deceived. They're deceiving others. They're like, no. Then they're speaking their doctrine and they're preaching. You know, not everyone preaches the gospel. People preach. They preach everything. And they preach in their stuff and they're deceiving people and they're turning people away from God and they're mixing evolution into the Bible and they're mixing all these worldly philosophies and it's okay for Christians to do this and it's okay for Christians to do that. We're in a church many, many years ago. Okay, many years ago. Don't hold it again. Against me. I've learned a little bit since then. And it was a church that actually, I didn't know for some years, but actually taught creation by evolution. Okay, it was a Calvinistic church, and don't hold that against me too, not anymore. And they taught creation by evolution. And you go back to that verse here, look what it says here. It says they're denying the power thereof. Now, I've got an interesting figure here, probably already know this, but way back in the 60s, which was before I was born, the world was 3 billion years old. Now, it's 4.5 billion years old. That's some pretty serious inflation. So in 84 years, the Earth aged 17,457,142.9 years every year. No wonder the world looks old. That's some serious aging problems. Hey, and you got Christians that say, yeah, evolution, yeah, the Bible, yeah, I believe the Bible, yeah, I believe in evolution too. See how that doesn't work? And that's the dangerous times that we're living in. And we were in a church that believed this. It's like God just kicked everything off and I didn't believe it when they taught it. I was actually really disappointed when I found out that that is what they believed. I was like, are you kidding me? I believe what it says in the Bible. What's that? 6 days? And they're like, nah, God couldn't have done that in 6 days. And that's why they're denying the power thereof, and they're looking, and the scientists, and they're studying, you know, science, falsely so-called, and they're looking under microscopes, and they're checking out all these cool stuff, and they're finding fossils, and they're going, oh, and we need more time. That is just way too complex. We need a few more million years. Yeah. Yeah, so there was a really cool orchid. Do you like orchids? I'm not into flowers too much. I just like this story. It's an orchid, not an orchard, if you read it spelled. Many kids say orchard. Orchid. They're a cool flower, and they're pollinated by moths. And they got a really long tongue. It's called a proboscis, I think. Or is that the antenna? No, I don't know. Orchids are pollinated by moths. And Charles Darwin found an orchid that had a flower that was 1 foot long. That's pretty cool. Hey, that's a long flower. I don't know what orchid it is. I just know this story. I guess I should like be really cool and put pictures on the boards and all this kind of stuff. And his theory was that there must be a moth with a tongue long enough to pollinate this thing. Because this thing's got to have a tongue that's 1 foot long to get down into the bottom of this flower. But they hadn't found it in his lifetime. Some years later, they found the moth. Doesn't take long. Look at the orchid long enough, eventually you'll find the moth. So they find this moth, and it's got a 30-centimeter long tongue, and that's awesome. And you know how it happened? They evolved together. I wonder if the flower said, I'm going to get longer next year, you better get a longer tongue. Or if the moth said, I'm hitting the bottom of you, you need a longer one, my tongue is sore. I don't know. How did this happen? I don't know. We just need a few more million years and it'll all work out. Okay? Just give it a bit more time. We need more time. And all things are possible. Okay? All things are possible. Do you know with enough time, the impossible becomes probable? This is a quote, by the way. This isn't Bible. This isn't even me. It's just a awesome quote. It's not awesome at all. It's like blasphemous. It says, given enough time, the impossible becomes possible. No, the probable? The probable, yeah, I can't remember. But basically it says, given enough time, miracle happens. Time itself performs the miracles. Okay, time itself. So time is their God. They've totally wiped out God. They're denying the power of God. They're saying God can't even create this. Even Christians are saying God can't create this. We need more time. The human body, it's too complex. We've got cells, we've got moths, we've got orcas, we've got birds, we've different beaks, we've got fossils, we've got all of this stuff, and it just took so long to do it, but we won't believe the Bible. And see, we're in perilous times. But these things are coming in to the church. Evil men and seducers. We got wizards and imposters and enchanters. Have you seen what's happening in politics? I mean, I better be careful what I'm going to say. You got the... I don't know how to say it. Papua New Guinea was so good. There was no political correctness. I don't even know if we're getting into trouble. You've got the smoking ceremonies, and you've got the ancestor worship, and you've got all of this stuff, and it's all coming and it's mixing, and you've got the ecumenical stuff, and they have the Indians praying with the Christians, and the Aborigines smoking their leaves at different events, and all this stuff, and everyone holds hands and goes, "Yay, we can all live together." Yeah, we should be able to live together. That's right. But we can't mix our religion and our doctrine. Okay, look at what it says here. Verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Okay, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Typically we think of Paul. Okay, typically we think that everyone learned everything from Paul. Okay, but Timothy didn't get saved from Paul. Let's go back to chapter 1. And let's go back to Timothy's testimony a little bit. Still 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, okay? And Paul recognizes his family heritage, and I love this testimony here. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." He looks at Timothy, and Timothy is already a Christian. He's already a follower of the Lord. He's already on fire, and he sees this unfeigned faith. It is genuine. It is legitimate. It is without dissimulation. How good is that word? It is without dissimulation. Without hypocrisy, it is unfeigned faith which is in you, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois. I see your faith, and you are faithful. And you know who was faithful? Your grandma was faithful. She had that same faith. And thy mother Eunice. Yeah, your grandma and your mum, they taught you well. They taught you well. You've got this solid foundation, you've got this solid faith, and it came from your grandma, and it came from your mum, and you've known these. Look at here, keep your finger there, look back here into verse chapter 3 and verse 14-15. It says, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. Your grandma and your mum, they raised you so well, and there's unfeigned faith, and it says, "I am persuaded that is all in thee also." He can see a genuineness in Timothy that he knew. He must have known his grandma and his mum. He must have met him at some time. I don't know, but he sees that same faithfulness is in there. And he's like, "Remember who taught you this? Remember your grandma? Remember how faithful she was?" Now, I love that passage because it was my grandma that took me to church too. Yeah, that's pretty cool, hey? My grandma picked me up. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, so I didn't get to get saved at home or anything. My grandma took me to church. I'm like, yeah, my grandma. Some of you know my grandma. She was faithful. She lived in Ingham for all these years. She passed away a few years ago. What year was it? 18 or 19, 19 or 20. Sometime I was in New Guinea, she passed away, couldn't come back or anything. But she was faithful, and I told her, and she was a prayer warrior. She was awesome. I was literally scared. I told her, I said, "I'm scared, Grandma, you can't die. Because if you die, then who's going to pray for us?" And I challenged my mum, and my mum said, "No, I can't do that." Anyway, but my grandma and my granddad, they were solid. They were faithful. They were genuine. They had it for real. And I'm encouraged there. And he got that. And he was brought up from a child. You knew the Scriptures. Look at verse 15 in chapter 3. It says, And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. They had the Old Testament, the scriptures. They didn't have the whole New Testament now. Paul was just writing letters to churches. He didn't know that they were going to get compiled into the Bible and still be looking at it thousands of years later. But he knew that from the holy scriptures they pointed to to Christ through faith in him. And verse 16 is that verse that we all know. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He says, you know this stuff, and I want you to be a pastor. That's what he says, because he's sending him out to be a pastor and to train people and ordain people. And he goes, you know those scriptures. Watch out for people. It's going to be dangerous. There's seducers. There's wicked people out there. They're denying God. They're denying the resurrection. You know, it's obviously there back then because he wrote it in a letter in Corinthians 15. It says, if there is no resurrection, then we of all men are most miserable. Why are we preaching? We're lying and we're bearing false witness against Christ, saying he raised from the dead when he didn't. You know all this stuff. Keep it. Don't change your doctrine. Remember, your grandma was faithful. Remember, your mum was faithful. Remember, you learn it from them. Keep the faith. That sounds like a catchphrase. I wasn't using that. Okay, keep it up. All scriptures given by inspiration by God. Let's jump down to chapter 4 and verse 1. Ready? This is a challenge, isn't it? It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom, preach the word. He's telling Timothy, preach the word. Preach it. You know it. Preach it. If you're going to preach it, you've got to have it in so you can get something out. If you need to be able to open your mouth and say something, and to be able to open your mouth and say something, you need to be full of something. And a lot of people are full of rubbish, and it comes out their mouth. And you know what it's like when that guy starts talking, you're like, here we go. What a load of baloney. I am sick of hearing this. You know, preach it. Preach the word. Be instant. He's saying be ready. Come on, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And look what he's saying. This is where we're at now. He's telling him to preach it. Be a witness. Be faithful. Do what you need to do. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is the time now. People can't handle doctrine. People can't handle doctrine. You know, we had this kind of little bit of a debate with a guy at work last year sometime, and it was kind of a little bit awkward, and it's like, oh man, he kind of didn't really believe that homosexuality was a sin, and me and two other guys, we just kind of reacted, hey, reactions are like, hey, sure, I'm like, were you kidding me? Haven't you read the Bible? And he's just like, oh, I was like, no way, Old Testament. And someone goes, yeah, he who lies with a man is an abomination. I'm like, yeah, Romans 1, all this stuff. And another guy goes, yeah, haven't you read the Bible? Like, how can you agree with that? And he's like, oh, he couldn't handle it, eh? And that's what people are like, even Christians. They can't handle sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know, they're reading and they're studying, and we've got YouTube and we've got these online pastors, and I heard this and I heard that, and this preacher said this and he said that and they said this, and they're getting all of this stuff, and I read this book and I studied this, but I didn't read the Bible all week. And they can't handle sound doctrine. What's wrong with people? And it's a concerning when it's Christians, because, you know, I think Peter warns about false prophets in the church. 2 Peter 2, all through that chapter of 2 Peter chapter 2, he's constantly warning about false prophets and false teachers. And Jesus says there's going to be false prophets and there's going to be false teachers, and they're going to be sitting in church and they're going to look like Christians and they're going to do the right thing. And you know what? Jesus sent out his disciples by twos and no one came back and said Judas couldn't do it. Someone's going to betray me tonight. It's going to be Judas, I bet you. No one saw that coming. Hey, no one saw that coming. Deceivers, wicked people, denying the power. Oh, man. Imagine that. And the Bible warns, you know, Jesus says, "Woe unto him by whom I'm going to be betrayed." But imagine that. I you know, we read the Bible. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just those Gospels, and it's so brief. Imagine seeing Jesus for 3 years, the full 3 years of his ministry, all of those miracles. The Sermon on the Mount, I love reading it. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is three chapters, and you're like, whoa! And it's just like you read it in 10 minutes, but he sat there all day. Where's the rest of it? Oh. The road to Emmaus. Jesus was walking along after his resurrection, and he's talking to the guys, and they're going, "Don't you know what happened? They killed Jesus." And Jesus is going, "No, what are you talking about, fellas?" And he goes through the Old Testament, all the way through Genesis, through the prophets, and speaking about everything concerning himself. And then they pray, and they go, "Oh, it's Jesus." And then Jesus disappears, and they go, "Whoa!" And they run back up to Jerusalem. What did Jesus say? Oh, we don't have it. But these people, the people today, they don't know. They won't listen. They don't want sound doctrine. They got all these teachers and all this information, and they're overloading, and they won't come to the truth. Verse 4, it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." God didn't do it. God didn't make it. Nothing did. Nothing made it. Give nothing the glory. Amen. Praise nothing. How angry is God? You know, like my kids, they say things, they do something, and they go, "Oh, someone taught me how to do this." I'm like, "No, they didn't, I did." Don't you say that they taught you how to do that. I taught you how to do that. I did that for you. Don't you give them the credit. Hey, and I'm just like a dad, and I'm jealous, right? That's jealousy. Righteous jealousy. Okay, boys, give me the credit. I taught you everything. Don't you say otherwise. All right? It's true. And God is a jealous God, and then the whole world turns around and goes, "Nothing made it." The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." Actually, if you read that verse and look at the italics, it actually says the fool says in his heart, "No God." The "there is" in italics. And I think that's stronger because they're deliberately saying, "No God." And that's scary. And the Bible warns against false teachers and false preachers and false doctrines and all this stuff. And so my challenge today is, we're in the last days, and this is being fulfilled as we see it, all of the time. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to live? How are you going to live as a Christian in this world at these times? I'll leave you with that challenge tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings that it gives us. Help us to heed the warnings. Give us understanding and give us wisdom, Lord, and help us to be instructed by you and your word, Lord. Help us to obey you and your word, Lord. And just give us wisdom as we go about our day and this week and as we go to work and mix with people of all areas, Lord, of unsaved people and religious people and Christians and everywhere, all ages, Lord, the people that we walk into. Just give us wisdom as we talk and deal with them, Lord, and help us to have a good testimony and to follow you, and help us to be wise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.